This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 19, available now worldwide. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Out of the Park Baseball 19 is available now, today, directly from Out of the Park Developments. You can get it on Steam, you can get it on Origin, and if you are an Origin Access subscriber, you can play it now today as part of that plan. Oh my goodness, Out of the Park Baseball 19, we are so excited, so proud, so happy that you can now play Out of the Park Baseball 19. This is the best version of this game that has ever been put together. So much of the feedback that we've gotten from fans has been fantastic. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is the biggest. It is the best. It has the most stuff to do, and it looks amazing, and it plays great. Yes, this is all hype, but it's true. Just go look at what people are saying about it. Don't take my word for it. Go look on our Facebook page. Go look on our forums. Go look at our Twitter. It's amazing. Go look at our YouTube page, our Twitch live streams. People are really having a blast playing Out of the Park Baseball 19. You can get it today. Again, you can get it right from our website, Out of the Park Developments. You can get it right from Steam, and you can get it from Origin, or if you are a subscriber, it's only $5 a month to Origin Access. You can play Out of the Park Baseball 19 to your heart's content. Go check it out. We are so happy. Out of the Park Baseball 19, available now, today, $39.99 across all of your favorite platforms. Go check it out. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
I'm Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre, with me, Rich Grisham. And you've had some adventure lately, Rich, including attending PAX East. Talk about that experience a little bit.
You know, PAX East was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun for a lot of reasons, both personal and professional. This is not the first time I've been to a PAX East, but PAX East is the only one of the PAXes that I have been to. We've been a couple times in the past, did a couple of live Press Row podcasts there, as a matter of fact, which was fun. But this was different because, first of all, we're there with Out of the Park Developments, and we had a couple of different events. Number one, on the PAX runs from Thursday to Sunday. On the Friday night, we had a Out of the Park Developments meet and greet at a brewery right across the street from Fenway Park. And when I say across the street, I mean across the street is Fenway Park. It's called Boston Beer Works Brewery Number One Fenway. And they did a great job. And we had about 25 people there at its height. A lot. And what was so cool there was who was there. So, first of all, there were, you know, a bunch of fans, like Out of the Park fans who showed up, which was great. You know, some guys who had been playing since Out of the Park 3 and 4. And one of the fellows is really deep into building all of the stadiums that you can download on Steam. He's created hundreds of stadiums that you can play in the 3D mode, like old time stadiums and variations on existing stadiums. Unbelievable. He was there. So that was just so much fun talking to them, but also friends of the Press Row podcast and others were there, and people like Kat Bailey was there, and Sumit Sarkar was there. And Doug, AKA Good Game Bro, was there. Like, it was so much fun. And Mills Gaming TV was there, right? It was so much fun having all these people that are affiliated with us there, which was a blast. And just hanging out with those guys for, you know, several hours was just amazing. And of course, I was there along with TJ and Chris, aka Snagglejay. So that sports gamer and Snagglejay, you know, the whole Out of the Park Baseball marketing team. We were all there hosting the event, and my wife and my son got to be there too. And it was the first time that they had ever sort of been in anything like that with me. And this, you know, my son is now at the age where, you know, if I want to shuffle on up to Boston, I can take him. So he was on spring break, so they got to come. So it was just a really, really special night, and we had fun. So that was cool. And then we also, I hosted a panel called So You'll Want to Market an Indie Game on Sunday at noon. And it was myself and Chris, you know, Snagglejay on the panel, along with Jean-Vive Saint-Ange, who is a one of the founders of a, you know, indie marketing game company, you know, a group of people who help the indie games get their games shipped. And she's also well known. She's the wife of Greg Miller, you know, from Kind of Funny. So she was on the panel, as well as Mike Futter, well known from Game Informer, was doing some work with Mike Bithell of Bithell Games, and is the recent or is the author of the recently published book called The Game Dev Biz Handbook. So the panel itself was just tremendous. And one of the many cool things about the panel was that there was over 215 people there. Like, I don't remember exactly the number, but it was 215 and counting as the people were coming in. It was just great.
Do you get nervous in that scenario?
Well, no, because I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly nervous is not the right term. You're certainly the adrenaline is pumping and you're excited. I mean, I'm excited.
Anxiety.
I don't know that it was anxiety. The only sort of unpleasant thing is that the computer I had didn't have an HDMI input for my presentation. And so, like, for the 14 minutes to the countdown of when the people were coming in, I was scrambling around trying to find a way, a converter. And then eventually, like, with – I'm not even joking – 30 seconds left, the tech guys were able to plug it into something they had on the side, and then I got a clicker that worked and I was able to deliver the presentation on the big screen, and that came literally down to the wire. So that was certainly caused me nerves, but I was prepared to deliver it, you know, without it, but certainly having the visuals that I had put together helped me tell the story as well. So it was just, I mean, a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I'm very happy that we were able to do it. I don't know, you know, I think there'll be some sort of long-term positive goodwill that we'll get out of it over time. I certainly, personally and professionally, was a wonderful thing and just loved it. So it was great. The other part that was interesting is my son had obviously never been to a PAX. And so we on the Friday day, I sort of took him over there and we went in and he just looked around and saw all the people, you know, the games on the floor. We walked around. As soon as he saw the Nintendo booth, boom, he went right for it. He's like, oh, Nintendo, because he's a Nintendo kid. It's funny. Right now, he's actually actively playing games on three different Nintendo consoles. He's playing on his 3DS. He's big into Smash Bros. On his 3DS. He's playing Splatoon 2 on the Switch. And we've also got the Wii U hooked up to one of the two TVs. And so he's sort of gotten back into that. And I had to get an external hard drive because we had some games, but the original Wii U is filled up. But anyway, he was playing Smash Bros. On the Wii U today too. So he's a Nintendo kid. He saw the Nintendo booth. He went right to it. And Nintendo wasn't like showing off anything new, but they had a really nice display and they were doing a Splatoon 2 tournament. So they had, you know, they had like 4-on-4, I think it was, or maybe even 5-on-5, you know, but they had Splatoon 2 live and you could, you know, the fans could just walk up and play around and they had the big screen as well as the individual screens. And so he got online and waited for about 10 minutes, not bad at all, then got to play several rounds and he had a blast doing that. And it was just kind of cool seeing it from his eyes, right? Mm. Like. Yeah. You know, it was a really cool moment for me to be able to take him and for the overall experience to be so pleasant. Like, it was a very pleasant time the whole time that we were there. There were no, you know, it was great. We just had a blast, you know, and we walked around upstairs and he wound up, I think why he's playing Smash Bros. Now so much is because he wound up, you know, in the rooms upstairs, they have all sorts of different things set up. Tabletop stuff, old consoles, new consoles, retro consoles, and you wound up playing Smash Bros. With some people up there for a while. So that was also really fun. And, you know, my wife seeing all that stuff, you know, being there with me, it was certainly her first time, participating as well. And then we also got to do some cool stuff around Boston on a couple of the other days as a family, which was nice. So it was really just a special few days. And, you know, I'm not a big, it's not like I would go to PAX and ever spend 3 or 4 days on the show floor. That's not what I would ever do. I mean, yeah. But I would, like, you know, going to panels would be cool and stuff. Like, there were some really good panels. So it was just great. I loved it. And it was something I think that we'll always remember, all of us. It was cool.
Yeah, I don't know how PAX East compares to PAX Prime here in Seattle, which I've gone to a few times. But even then, it's the crowds and the waits and everything. It's just, it's really not worth it to me. But did anything catch your eye while you were there, other than your
well,
sons?
Yeah, well, you know, it's what we don't really do. We sort of just sort of walk around the show floor once or so, you know, and glance like, you know, I'm not really big into a wide variety of games. I play the sort of games that I play and just because of the time constraints that I have. But there wasn't much. But I will say one thing that I was very excited not only to see, but then to meet the guys who run the company that make it. Have you ever played the Bit Trip Runner games?
No.
They're quite fun. They're just really fun, very visually appealing. You know, there's, you know, beautiful bright colors and really great music as you're running, and it builds nicely. You know, the level of difficulty, it starts you off, and when you succeed, you feel good, you know, because the music gets stronger and the colors get brighter and stuff. And it's a really wonderful game. And I originally played it, I think it was Bit Trip Runner 2. Bit Trip 2 was probably the first game that I played of. I played it on the Vita for a while, and then I have it on the PS4, and I actually had recently just been playing it, because you can play it for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, you know, and go through a bunch of different levels. But anyway, they're making Runner 3, and I was walking around and saw it and stopped. I was like, oh, wait, this is the new Bit Trip Runner, and the two guys who run the company were both in the booth, and I got to chat with them for 5 or 10 minutes, and get a look at how it looked, and it looked beautiful. And I just told him, I was so happy that you're making the game, because I'm a big fan. And, you know, if you're making number three, that means obviously, you know, number two must have done well somehow, right? I mean, you wouldn't make a sequel if it didn't. So, but it's been a while since the game had come out. So, yeah, they're making Runner 3. So that's one that I'm day one on that. I'm a big fan of that series.
Was Super Mega Baseball there? I know they've been to a few PAX events.
They were not. Yeah. They were not, because I had actually originally I had reached out to the Metalhead Software guys to see if they were and was going to ask them to be on the panel. But no, they weren't able to be there. But I'm sure that's only because they're working night and day 24/7 to get Super Mega Baseball 2 ready to go.
Yeah, PAX is a great great opportunity for independent developers, particularly if they can get space there, if they can financially, if it makes sense for them, and if it's available. So I didn't know. I know they've been to a few out here, but otherwise, sports games don't really have much of a presence at PAX anyway.
Right. No, they don't. They don't. I mean, I've done a couple of live press rows, and there have been plenty of people there, but. But, you know, like what we did this past week, which was much broader, although obviously we talked a lot about out-of-the-park developments, but we also went a bit broader as well. And there was just a lot more people there in the room, which was, again, really exciting. You know, talking to a room full of people is a really wonderful thing. And that was so cool. So, yeah, there's not a big sports game presence there, although they did have the EMLS had a whole –
yeah,
tournament there, and TJ and Chris went in there and were both, if I remember correctly, were both pretty impressed with what they had going on in there. So next time they're on, I bet you they've got some good stories about the EMLS thing. So that was there. So it wasn't completely devoid of sports.
Yeah,
not at all.
All right. So one thing that you probably did not have a chance to check out. A major milestone in esports for sports video games was the NBA 2K League draft. Rich, did you catch anything in regard to that draft?
What I caught about this draft, Brian, was that you wrote an article about it for Sporting News. I did not read the article, but I know that you wrote the article. So that is literally all I know about it.
Okay, so yeah, so the draft, we've been waiting for this for.
By the way, no offense at not reading the article. I will read it. I just, you know, I want to be honest. That's all.
Yeah. I'll send you the link, Rich. Thanks.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll get you the click, man. I will.
Yeah. So we've been waiting for this moment. This is kind of where things start to become relevant to people. Like the building up of the league itself really doesn't matter to anyone. The draft is the first step as far as getting people interested in the whole initiative here, and of course when they start playing games, that's even bigger. But this is the first, like I said, it's a real milestone, and they held it with a great deal of legitimacy. It looked like a real draft. They treated it like a serious event. They had ESPN personalities promoting it. They had, of course, Adam Silver, commissioner, talking about its importance. He said it's the leagues as far as kind of the umbrella. They have four leagues now, NBA, WNBA, G League, and NBA 2K League. So this is not a just one-off thing. It's definitely a long-term strategy for them to get into esports and build it up with the support of the league and with the support of the individual teams. So I did not expect this to be really... It was not going to get a lot of eyeballs, I didn't think. Because, look, it's a draft. If people don't know who's being drafted, if they don't know who's any good, who's not, what it's going to mean in the long run, if they don't really have rooting interests yet, nobody's going to care about that draft. There's a reason why the NBA draft, because people follow college basketball and they know players will make an impact. Same with NFL, they follow college football and they know players are going to come in and make an instant impact. Then you have ones like baseball where nobody knows the players and they know they're years away. Nobody's going to watch. That's why it's a big difference. So that was one of the things I was curious about. How many people were going to watch, especially when you have Woj on Twitter breaking, quote unquote, breaking the number one pick, like he's breaking picks during the NBA draft. And you have the Darren Rovells of the world tweeting facts over and over that I'm not sure anybody cared about. But once again, people with big influence were making a big deal out of it. And pretty much every sports publication was tweeting about it and writing stories about it. So it was being treated as, like I said, as a big event and something that was being handled seriously and given legitimacy. Now, the numbers, Rich, how many, if you're going to take a guess, and we've talked about numbers before on esports for things like Madden and FIFA. If you're going to take a guess, how many people do you think at its peak tuned in to watch the NBA 2K League draft?
And what was it? What platform was it on?
It was on Twitch.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to sound dumb almost no matter what here. I'm going to say 14,000.
You do not sound dumb. So,
really?
So it peaked right as the draft was about to begin at about 13,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So you were close. I mean, like, I would have thought that's probably about where I would have pegged it to.
Okay.
Based on expectations. Because, again, I did not think there's much reason for people to tune in. But the push they were giving this thing, you'd almost think that it would be in like the hundreds of thousands and with the backing of the NBA. But it's still not there yet. It's still very early. Nobody knows how good this is going to be yet. Nobody knows if it's going to be worth watching. Nobody knows the players yet. So that's really where we're at now. And that's a number that's almost like a peak esports number for sports video games. Like when you see the Madden big events, they'll draw about 10,000. FIFA will get more, but I mean it's not a big draw right now as far as sports video games go. And this is something I talked about in the article, is the struggle for the relevance in this space, because you have, of course, most of the big esports games or the big streaming games that you're seeing now are fantasy, essentially. They're not attempting to simulate something you already see in real life. They're not attempting to simulate realism and they're not competing with the actual things in real life like sports games are. People are going to watch the real NBA draft. People are going to watch real NBA games. You know, whether they decide they're going to watch people playing NBA 2K is still up in the air. I feel that it has the most potential. We've talked about this many times. I feel like the 2K League has the most potential because of the NBA support, and because you've got, if you're a Sacramento Kings fan, you're probably going to be a Sacramento 2K League fan. It makes sense in that regard. And also having teams, groups of, well, six, but five on the court at any given time, where you get to see how they communicate, you get to see the teamwork, and where practice you really start to see pay off as far as group go. It's different than watching an individual play for money. It's just different because you're seeing people are relying on others, and I think that's a big, big key to it. But yeah, so we also know that the season actually starts. Well, they start with a tournament on May 1st, and then the first actual games that count toward the season, Rich, begin on May 11th. And the season is only 14 games long, which seems a little odd to me for basketball. I would have thought that's a kind of a small sample size.
How many?
14.
14. Yeah, that is small. But you know what? I kind of like that, right? You want to start somewhere, you make it a manageable number. That's one good way to start, right?
It puts, it puts importance on each game, kind of like the NFL, where one game is big. But I just wonder if that's really going to be enough to separate teams who are, you know, definably better, quote unquote, better than others, if we're going to see that over a 14-game season. But there are also a couple tournaments, and in all, $1 million in prize money will be given out. That does not count what the players are being paid in salary, Rich. So they have a chance to win. They're going to be splitting it amongst their teammates, but the eventual champion wins $300,000.
that's nothing to sniff at.
No. And another $700,000 distributed to runners up and tournament winners. So a lot of opportunities for these guys to win money. But again, I don't think money is what drives people to watch. It drives people to participate, doesn't drive them to watch. So there's a lot to learn here, Rich. A lot to see where this goes and how does the game look on TV? Because they really need to do a better job of presenting it than they have done in the past. Madden does a great job of presenting their esports broadcasts, but even still, people don't really tune in for it. So May 1st is kind of the initial opportunity for us to get a sense of where this is going to be going and get a sense of whether anyone out there cares yet. I can see it building. I can see people getting interested in it and starting to root for their teams once they find a team, if they don't already have one. They're doing a really strong job of marketing it. But again, the number for the draft wasn't especially impressive, but I didn't expect it to be. So my opinion hasn't really changed about its potential to grow here. But they did a strong job of giving it, again, legitimacy, which I think was important, instead of something that people are just going to laugh off.
That's great. I mean, to me, the more ways that these games are played and seen and experienced and then participated in, the better. And if this is a way to expose more people to NBA 2K and get it more awareness, because I think, NBA 2K is in both an enviable and almost potentially frustrating position, in that there are very few people, I think, who are in the market for console video games that aren't fully aware of NBA 2K. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's only an addressable market only so large. And one way to get more people excited and aware of the brand, and maybe, you know, potentially either would think about playing it or at least, potentially buy it for other family members or something like that. Basically, you know, it is to get outside of just that. And so this is really interesting. And they've got the great partnership with the NBA. I mean, the NBA is not obligated to do this. They clearly think that there's something there, you know, and NBA and Take-Two are very successful organizations that have tremendous resources and incredible numbers of really smart people. So, you know, I have a feeling that if two things, I have a feeling that they will make this work, but I don't know what success really looks like. And so that's the most interesting, is what does success look like? You do this with obvious goals in mind, both financially and otherwise. And I wonder what those are and what their definition of success is. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I can't imagine they are expecting this to be huge right away. I think anybody that's followed this, like we have, knows that's not going to happen. But like they did with the draft, I think just establishing it and making it something that, you know, that looks interesting and that looks like they're actually putting effort into, and that's being treated in a serious manner as opposed to just like, you know, it just not giving it the respect that it probably would need for anybody to follow it. Like, it's one thing to participate in it because you got a shot at money. It's another thing to watch it, and you have to give people compelling reasons to want to watch it. And if nobody's watching, it's never going to be a success. So, you know, we'll have to see over the next couple of years, because I think this is probably a 5-year project for them that they are going to give it at least that much time as they bring even more teams in. And if they haven't been able to do it by then, I'm not sure if it's possible to ever be done with a sports game. But I found it interesting, at least, how they handled the draft. Not necessarily the numbers they pulled in or the actual results of the draft or anything that has followed, but at the very least, they got off on the right foot.
Agreed.
Yeah, so let's talk a little more NBA 2K and also Franchise Hockey Manager, Rich, because we are in to now the playoffs for both the NBA and the NHL. And so,
love the NHL playoffs. Love the NBA playoffs too, but love the NHL playoffs.
I'll tell you what, I watched the lead up to and all the pregame festivities in Vegas on TV, and it was
okay.
I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
I saw parts of the game, but not the not the pregame. But I did see parts of the game, and I tell you, you got to get ready, man, because the NHL is coming to Seattle. Well,
that's what it made me think of, because they did this. They almost did put on like a medieval show for the crowd, and the crowd was just, the atmosphere was unbelievable. And then I thought to myself, Seattle's even going to be crazier than that. So yeah, it's very exciting, and I would be a huge Vegas fan if not for Seattle getting a team.
So you're rooting really for fun. Vegas right now, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, so it's cool to see that and see, you know, how excited that city was. It wasn't too long ago that people argued that Vegas couldn't even support a pro sports team.
Well, they've done a great job at every level. The team being one of the top teams in the West in its first year is beyond unprecedented. I don't know what the attendance was like, but it's, you know, from what I mean, I've seen parts of games at different times. It looks like it's a good place and a big packed house. So I was in Vegas I was actually going to go to a Vegas Knights game when I was in Vegas, but because of a massive blizzard that was happening in the Northeast, I had to leave town a little early. So I missed the opportunity to go. But the stadium is right there in the city, and staying.
Yeah, it's walking distance from the hotel.
I was going to go. Yeah. I was going to go because it's awesome. I was scheduled to leave the next morning. I'm like, you know, I'm a sports fan. I'm in Vegas. I'm going to go to the Vegas Knights game. And when the next opportunity I have to go, I will absolutely go for sure.
That's what I'm looking forward to doing that too, to go and just down the elevator, walking for 5 or 10 minutes to the arena.
Yep.
And then walking back. I mean, nothing cooler than that. So
absolutely.
So tell me, we'll start with hockey then. Tell me a little bit about what your franchise hockey manager thinks is going to happen here.
All right. So, and what was really cool is that these actually got talked about and announced on the NHL Network on Monday night and Tuesday night. Mm. I'll send you the links to the video, and maybe you can put them in the show notes. Franchise hockey manager in the West likes in the first round, Nashville over Colorado, Winnipeg over Minnesota. That will make Night Attack 09, Adam Burnett very happy, and the Catbot, Cat Bailey, very unhappy. Vegas over the Kings in 7.
Nice.
Anaheim over San Jose. In the East, they have the Devils beating the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's unbiased video game.
I had nothing to do with it. Uh-huh. I had nothing to do with this. The producers did all of this and just gave me the results. They've got Toronto beating the Bruins, the Blue Jackets over the Capitals, and the Penguins over the Flyers. So a lot of upsets on that side. In the second round, they've got a sorry night attack, Adam. Nashville beating Winnipeg. And they've got Vegas beating Anaheim.
Wow, Vegas moving on.
Yeah, in the East, they've got the Devils beating the Maple Leafs, and then the Blue Jackets the Penguins. I had nothing to do with
this.
This is getting harder
to believe.
In the conference finals, they have the Predators beating beating Vegas in seven.
Wow.
And they've got the Devils beating the Blue Jackets in six. I'm telling you. And then in the Stanley Cup final, the Predators beat the Devils in five. So Franchise Hockey Manager 4 is predicting the Nashville Predators will win the Stanley Cup. The Predators made it to the Cup Finals last year. A lot of people probably don't know or forgot about that, especially if you're not a big hockey fan. The Penguins have won two Cups in a row. So they're going for not unprecedented, because, the Oilers did it a long time ago in the Islanders did it, but getting three Stanley Cups in a row these days, I mean, it hasn't happened for a long time, not since the early 80s. It's already two in a row is impressive. If they got three in a row, that would be really impressive.
I'll give you a break on the Devils, because one thing I know about hockey, the Stanley Cup playoffs, is that very often low seeded teams.
HB1s, all the time.
NHL doesn't have a 1-8 seeding now, do they?
They've got a weird one.
Weird.
So what it is, the top team still plays the bottom team that qualifies. So the top two seeds play two wild cards, so the number 8 and the number 7. Mm-hmm. But then in the other ones, it's just in the division. So the second and the third place teams in the Metropolitan play each other, and the second and third place teams in the Atlantic play each other, and so on, right? So it's a little odd. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I'm so happy and proud of the New Jersey Devils. It's hard. People don't realize now it's hard to make the playoffs in the NHL. It's not like it used to be where everybody gets in. The Devils had a great start to the year, won like 10 of 12 and had a terrific year, and they had to win. They had to go 7-1-1 in their last 8 games to make the playoffs. They barely made it to playoffs, even though I had almost 100 points. So as a Devils fan, and they have been down for years, this was a great year. Whether or not they win in the playoffs, qualifying in this for this club, for what they've been coming off of, making the playoffs is a successful season. Obviously, I want them to play well and beat Tampa Bay and move forward. And they've got a chance because they got Taylor Hall, who I think is the MVP of the league. Taylor Hall has had an unbelievable season. But it's been, I'm always into the NHL playoffs, but I'm particularly into them this year because the Devils are back, and it's already a fun time of year, made even better.
Well, that'll be a hell of a call if they actually get there.
Oh, man. Mm. Not feeling good about it, right now, because the Devils lost game one. But, it's a long series.
All right, so NBA 2K18, I did what?
No, I said yeah. Let's hear it.
I thought you were stopping me.
Wow, that was rough.
Whoa. Oof. Yeah, we're okay. NBA 2K18, simulation sporting news. I've got up now. It'll be out by the time the podcast is out. Simulation results for the first round of the playoffs. I only did the first round because it's pretty time-consuming. I went through and adjusted all the rosters, made sure that injured players are out, made sure that playoff rotations are accurate, that playing time minute distribution is more accurate, because we know that the Stars are going to be playing heavier minutes, things of that nature. And so, for example, with the 76ers, Joel Embiid, I had him out for the first two games, and then I would put him back in starting with game three. So I even went to that
You're
extent.
Good at this.
Yeah,
you're good, man.
I want it to be accurate, so, or as accurate as a simulation can be. So I wanted to get a feel, because what I've seen is NBA 2K has always been pretty good at identifying mismatches, at spotlighting trends that end up actually being relevant to what's happening in the real world. And it's done a good job of predicting things. I mean, I went back and looked at one of the prediction articles from this year, or, well, technically it was last year, but it's going into this season, for the Thunder after they acquired Carmelo Anthony. And everybody was really excited about Anthony joining the team and how they had a big three. And I went through with NBA 2K and simulated seasons before his arrival and simulated seasons after his arrival. And the game basically determined that the Thunder weren't going to be much better just because of Carmelo Anthony. It had had them winning. What did they win in real life? They won 50 games. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
one of the best years in a long time for that franchise too. Yeah,
so they Carmelo, they were basically one win better than without him. And then I checked, and it was the simulation was just off by two games. It predicted with Carmelo Anthony they would win 48 instead of 50. So very close, and actually pegged the exact seeding. Said they would be a 4 seed, and they ended up the 4 seed. So again, I kind of trust the simulation engine in NBA 2K for these type of things. So let's start in the Eastern Conference. We have Raptors against the Wizards, the 1 versus 8. And now I run 30 different simulations, and then I come out with the percentage, because we all know that you know, running simulations and you just say, here's who's going to win, Rich, like you just did. But I'm going to do it differently, because no matter what, there's a chance it's not going to be right. So I'd like to have a percentage that says, here's what the game, here's the advantage the game thinks a team has over another. This one's kind of interesting because it wasn't a cakewalk for the Raptors. Nearly half of the simulations went the full 7 games. And the Raptors have a 73% chance of winning this series, which is lower than what the betting odds are on the series.
What did the Raptors do to deserve getting a team as good as the Wizards in the first round?
That's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a tough.
Oh, draw. Man, that's rough.
And then you count in things like the Raptors have lost 9 straight game ones. But for Raptors fans, you should know that NBA 2K gives them an 80% chance of winning game one based on my simulations. So they may be able to pull that one out and get off on the right foot for once. What are they? They're like 1-11 in game ones. And so if the Wizards are going to do anything, they probably got to win that game one.
Yeah.
Now, the Raptors then would face the winner of the Cavs and Pacers. Now, this matchup is interesting because it's the only one where a team won every single simulation. The Cavs won 100%. Of the simulations, most of them in 4 or 5 games. So while we think the Cavs are vulnerable, at
we
least
do.
maybe, well, I think a lot
I
of
don't.
People do.
I don't.
They've got terrible defense. LeBron has to carry them. Can he continue to do that throughout a whole?
Yes. Yes, he can.
We're gonna
and
see.
He will.
We're
yep.
gonna see.
I'm telling you.
So
they're going to win the East.
They got to do it out of the 4 seed, which is tough, considering
yes.
they have to play the Raptors and then probably
correct.
The winner of like the 76ers.
Won't be easy.
Yeah, so that's tough. But apparently the Pacers are not going to be able to do anything against the Cavs. They got crushed.
Wow. Talk again, I mean, obviously it's different than being a 1 seed. You know, you should not have to face a team as good as the Wizards. But boy, that is a brutal matchup for the Pacers, too, to get LeBron in the first round.
Yep. So another interesting pairing here. The 76ers is a 3 seed against the Heat. Now, I mentioned earlier I had to adjust Joel Embiid for the first 2 games out, and then I brought him back for game 3 and on. And it made a huge impact when Embiid was in versus when he was out. So the simulations basically, almost in every set of sims, Philadelphia was able to win either one of the first 2 games or both of the first 2 games in Philadelphia. If they can do that, obviously, that's huge. Now, Embiid would come back, and there were sims where the Sixers won 4 straight after that, or won 4 out of 5 after that. But in the end, The prediction is actually the Miami Heat to win this series at 53%.
Controversial.
Sixers, yeah, the Sixers just, this is not going to be the end of the controversy. There's quite a few upsets here. The Sixers, they got into a hole in those first two games. They dug themselves out sometimes, but not enough.
And well, so that team has no playoff experience whatsoever. Yeah. Not that, I mean, I don't know how NBA 2K would sort of account for that, but regardless, it's true.
Finally, we have the Bucks as the 7 seed against the crippled Celtics as the 2 seed. This is one.
These two teams are both in bad places. Yeah, very bad places.
The Celtics are slight favorites, and the Bucks have not looked good. But then you look, there's still a lot of talent on Milwaukee, but they just don't seem to put it all together. So it's the Bucks moving on. 53% over the Celtics, 47%. The interesting thing I found in this was that most of the sims that were short, so 4 or 5 games, it was Boston. And most of the time that it went 6 or 7 games, it was Milwaukee. So I don't know what that means, but that's what the sims told me.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so you have you would have the Raptors against the Cavs and the Heat against the Bucks in the next round, which would put a 6 or 7 seed into the conference finals if that actually happened.
The only reason I really know that the Bucks have not been playing well is our good friend Mike Susick, because he will tweet regularly about them. So he's my that's how I tap into that franchise. But boy, that would make him happy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So moving over to the West, we got the number 1 Rockets over the number 8 Timberwolves, 73%. Actually, this one surprised me too, because the T-Wolves won a fair amount.
They're a good team. They're a good team. The only problem is they're playing the Rockets.
Yeah, they're a talented team, but I watched I watched them in that Denver game, and they could not execute. neither team could execute as they were playing for their playoff lives there to take the final spot in the West. And they just could not execute in the final few minutes of the game. And I don't know how they keep that up against Houston, if they keep up with them at all. But I did think it was interesting. And maybe that's where we see a more of a video game type result, where the T-Wolves have highly rated players. They've got Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. And, you know, those guys are really special players. But they're not a great team in real life. Versus, you know, obviously the Rockets, who are the number one team in the league. And according to the betting odds, they have the easiest first round matchup. But still, the T-Wolves, I guess they don't have, you can't count them out completely. But the Rockets, yeah, I don't see how they lose that. Right. But NBA 2K gives them gives Minnesota a decent chance, I guess. On to the 4 versus 5. This outcome surprised me. It's starting to be a trend. I kind of like the Jazz, but Oklahoma, that's probably my anti-Oklahoma City bias, but so they're a favorite in this series, and looking at the betting odds, this is one of the closest, if not the closest matchup, where it's basically a toss-up, if not for the home court advantage that OKC has. NBA 2K18 thinks this is going to be a rout, that the Thunder win 80% of the time. There were no sweeps, but Oklahoma City won the most in 4-1 fashion. So it doesn't seem like the game likes Utah very much.
Okay.
So that would mean Rockets versus Thunder in the next round. And so finally, we've got Pelicans, the 6 seed, Trailblazers, the 3 seed. This one was a surprise, Rich. the Pelicans win 60% of the time. And it was remarkable how many 4-2 series wins the Pelicans had in the simulations. That was all over the place. And the Trailblazers, one of the hottest teams in the league entering the postseason. Maybe the game doesn't really reflect that. But it likes the Pelicans in this one. It's just kind of interesting, especially without DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, Boogie, you know, man, imagine how much better of a shot that they would have with him playing.
Yeah. And so the Pelicans would move on to face the Golden State Warriors, who in This was the second most lopsided result, other than, of course, the Cavs. The Warriors won 87% over the Spurs. Warriors will be without Steph Curry. The Spurs, though, are without Kawhi Leonard, and the Warriors are obviously in position where they can compensate better for the loss of a superstar than the Spurs are.
Right.
That's the NBA 2K18 predictions for the first round.
Okay. And you're going to do this every round moving forward? Like, you didn't go any farther? This is just what you did? Or is that the plan?
That's okay. All I did.
That's good. That's good. That's a lot of work. Oh, stop it. Please.
I'm like, if I do the whole thing and then everything in the first round is wrong, then I just have to scrap it all.
Right. And so in other words,
I'm going to do it round around.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. It's good. And, you know, gives you a chance to roll through it.
I'm not on NBA TV or whatever. You always get on MLB and NHL. Right. So
a lot of work.
They want the champions. You know what? I'm going to make you guys wait for the champions.
Wow. Takes a lot of work. A lot of work to get on those networks, right? Doesn't just happen.
Yeah. They haven't invited me yet. Okay, so let's move on. Finally, Rich, let's talk about the best sports game favorite sports game since 2010 tournament.
Yeah.
When we last left, I believe we were entering the Final Four. The Final Four ended up being NBA 2K11 versus NBA 2K16. NBA 2K16 previously had kind of an upset beating MLB The Show 13. And then in the other side of the bracket, we had NCAA Football 14 versus 2010 FIFA World Cup. Mm-hmm, so the results there, NBA 2K11 moved on. I think that's kind of predictable. 64% of the vote moved on to the championship round.
NCAA 2K10, right?
2K11, yeah.
11.
Yeah.
That's the Jordan one, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then NCAA Football 14 moved on over FIFA World Cup.
Not a surprise.
2010 FIFA World Cup, which, again, it's a good showing for a World Cup game to get to the Final Four.
Final Four, exactly. I mean, you know, it's the one thing that's different about college basketball is that, you know, a Final Four is something.
Yep.
Making the Final Four in this is also something.
Yep. So the championship ends up being NBA 2K11 versus NCAA Football 14. Now, this is, it might have been predicted going in that this would be the final two. I went back and looked, and I've talked about the big tournament I ran in 2013, late 2013, for the favorite or the best sports game of the last generation, which was the 360, PS3, Wii generation. And NBA 2K11 ended up winning that. It beat MLB 13 The Show in the finals. What I did not realize until I looked back on it was NBA 2K11 beat NCAA Football 14 that year in the Elite Eight. And so NCAA Football 14 had only been out for like 4 months. And so I don't think it really sunk into people what that game was all about. And also nobody knew at the time it had been going to be canceled and be the last one. So that could affect where we are now. NBA 2K11 versus NCAA Football 14, Rich, what is your prediction?
Oof. Well, I'm going to go with NBA 2K. And I say it quickly because sort of it's a go with the gut. I think that both of these games made it to this spot for a reason. But I think that the impact of the Michael Jordan NBA 2K was greater than the quality of the NCAA football game, combined with the fact that it was the last one. Those are both very compelling stories that these games have. But I think if you just sort of look in the overall zeitgeist, so to speak, NBA 2K with the Jordan Challenge was a real, real game changer, no pun intended.
Sure.
It really struck into a much larger group of people and opened up a whole new way to think about playing sports video games. We don't really talk that much about how different the Jordan Challenge was than traditional sports game modes, right? It just really, no athlete had been explored like that. in different ways, and how the Jordan at different times would play differently, and just it was a real accomplishment, and I think that's going to win, and that would be my choice too. I think if I was voting, that would be my choice.
All right, so the winner of the favorite sports game since 2010 tournament is NCAA Football 14.
Really?
And the number on this shocked me, Rich.
Wow.
71% NCAA Football 14. It was a landslide. And that's why earlier I said I think time having passed changed things. NBA 2K11 beat it 5 years ago. And now NCAA Football 14 tops it. And I think it's, you know, the love of the last game and just the nostalgia.
Well, yeah, you, no doubt. And you know, we've played 20 NBA 2Ks since this one. And, you know, just hyperbole there, but you know what I mean.
No,
and
exactly.
We haven't played, and we played no NCAA football since then. So that obviously had a significant amount to do with it.
Yeah, so we ended up, of course, with two games from the last generation in this tournament. We did not see a whole lot of representation in the later rounds from games from this generation, Rich. So again, maybe just in whole, games from the past getting a little bit of an advantage. Or maybe they were just better at the, for their time than they are now. I don't know. Or at least people feel that way.
Right.
So that was interesting. NBA 2K16 was the only one to squeeze into the Final Four, and I think there was only maybe one other in the Elite Eight. So that's just kind of goes to show. Maybe we'll get to that point with this generation in the next year or two, because I don't know if you saw, but there's been talk of the PS5 already, and how that'll probably be out in 2019 or 2020. So we're getting on the tail end here, and they're talking real console release, not generational, you know, like half step like we've had so far.
Nope. Not.
You're saying no to the rumors?
No, I'm not. I mean, there will be a PS5. There will clearly be
PS5. There will be an actual PS5, yes.
I mean, to say that there will be a PS5 in 2020.
Well, the initial rumor, which I put zero stock into, I laughed it off when I first saw it, was that there would be a PS5 out later this year. And then I think it was Kotaku who followed up and said, no, it's more likely to be 2020.
Yeah, well, I mean, that and anybody can say that. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Right. Like, and it's you know what else, Brian? Hmm. The next Xbox will also be out, I'm going to say, in 2020 as well, or 2021. Right. I mean, that's of course there will be something, whether it's the next thing or just the Xbox One X next or the PS4 Pro Deluxe, because everybody's making a ton of money in video games right now in the AAA space, right? Like Nintendo and Sony are doing great. Microsoft, I gotta believe, is doing pretty well too. I mean, if you follow the NPD reports, the hardware spend is the most in years. The software spend is the most in years. There's quality games everywhere coming out on every single console and portable and PC. My gosh, I mean, of course there's going to be new consoles in a couple of years. Everybody knows that. So, that's like a non-issue.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode, Rich. Thanks for joining me again, spending some time to talk about everything that's
Absolutely.
Going on.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. So we'll be back with another episode next week. Thank you to everybody out there. Take care till then.